God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word that you have given to us that we may so freely access in our own language. And our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you have sent to enable us to, who applies this word and applies it to our hearts and causes us to walk in obedience to it and convicts us of our sin. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you will be with us this morning and convict us through your Holy Spirit and cause us to see how beautiful you are, how glorious is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray, oh God, that if we might go out into this world proclaiming his name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together our first epistle of John, chapter 1. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." This is the word of God. Now, I'd like to speak today on the topic of walking in the light. And we have read scriptures, John's word concerning this morning. So I'd like to consider, firstly, then, what is light? And then, how do we walk in this light? And then the result of walking in this light. The first thing we want to consider is, what is this light that John is talking about? I want to especially speak on the verses 5 to 7. 5 to 7, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Well, what is this light? And firstly, what is the Bible's use of the term light? John here makes a fundamental statement about God. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He says this before he ever says, God is love. That is true, and we are continually being reminded of that. But before he says that, he says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The first of God's act on the day of creation was to say in Genesis 1, verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. We're told in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, that in heaven there shall be no night there, that they need no lamp nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Similarly, in chapter 21 of Revelation 23, speaking about the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, he said, a city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And we are told in a passage which we read this morning from the Gospel of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or receive it or accept it. And then it says in verse 9 of John 1, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The true light, the original means the genuine light. The Bible uses the term light to discuss the nature of God. He is light. And John says to his readers, look, he says, I want to declare to you that which is fundamental, that which is from the beginning, and this fundamental thing, this thing which is from the beginning, he says, we have heard it, that which we heard. He says, it has touched us. He says, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I've talked to people who have, well, like all of us, have gone through various dark and difficult times in their lives. And this particular person was reflecting on the nature of God. He was saying, he was a believer. He was a believer. He's no longer with us. He's gone to heaven. But he was a believer. He loved the Lord. But he said, there's some things about God's mysterious dealings with me that I just can't understand. And it made it sound as if there are things that God does and that he allows that he simply couldn't bring himself to accept, that he couldn't rest in. And he struggled with this, and a lot of us do struggle with this. People say, why is there so much misery in this world? Why is there so much suffering? Why does God allow all these things, these terrible things that go on? And the way that even Christians sometimes talk about these things, it's as if there is a dark side to God. There's something, it's true to say that God, there is a dark side to God in the sense that we only know a portion that he has revealed about himself. But there is no dark side in the sense that we are talking about this morning. There is nothing in God which is suspect. There's nothing in this character which is not altogether lovely. We should have no reservations about the character of God. And it's always been this way. That which was from the beginning, says John, that we have touched. We have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, and our hands have handled. God's word doesn't just illuminate us. God's word is not just a great light. He is light. He is the genuine, the original light in whom there is no darkness at all. Many people think that they can combine a little bit of light from Buddhism, a little bit of light from animism, a little bit of light popular religion, from New Age philosophy, and a bit of mix in with that, some ideas from the Muslim faith. And then you can have your own sources of light which will guide you through life that you can walk by. That is your light. And you have your little light, I have my little light, and we walk by our own light. And I think that you can get peace of mind or go to heaven or achieve nirvana following your own route. In fact, we are told that many religions have many lights, and we can walk in the light of any of them or a combination of them and ultimately get to God or to heaven or wherever it is that we are aiming for. But you know where this attitude gets you? You have no substance. You have no anchor for your soul. You can never say, this is the absolute truth. This is the anchor to my soul. This is where I rest. Your spirit will have no rest while you think that you make up your own light and you take a bit from here and a bit from there and a bit from somewhere else. No. God is light. He is the original, the genuine, the source of all light. See, this idea that you can have your own light is fundamentally opposed to what John is telling us here. Now, I'm not saying that there is no truth or light in all or some of those religions that I've mentioned or philosophies. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean there is no light there. What it means is that whatever light and truth they may have comes not from themselves, but from its origin, from God alone. That is the only light there is. There is no other light. And so Isaiah says, in talking about false teachers and magicians and so on, in Isaiah 8, verse 20, when speaking about these false teachers, he says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. These religions or philosophies cannot save us because they do not call upon men to turn to the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so John says here, God is light. And in John 1, verse 9, he speaks of Christ saying, he was the true light, which gives light to every man who's coming into the world. Now, John shows a fundamental characteristic of light. Light shines in the darkness. It makes things open and clear. To have the light of life means that you can see where you are going, so that you will not fall over obstacles. To stumble around in the dark, as I've often done, results in falling over things and injuring ourselves. To walk in the light is to follow Christ. It is to have the light of life. John doesn't say there is much truth in God. There is much light that will help us in life. No, he says God is light. It is his very nature. And even though finite man cannot describe the infinite God, John says, I can say this much. As a result of what I have heard and seen and handled, God is light. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. I've experienced this light. I have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for those 3 years that he was in his public ministry in this world. And I testify to you that in him there is no darkness whatsoever. When the Bible speaks to us of that God and says to us that God is light, it speaks of his pure nature. In other words, his holiness, his complete faithfulness. He is incapable of lying because it is fundamentally opposed to who he is. And when the trials and the sufferings around us are so great that it seems we cannot comprehend how a God of love can allow all this, we can say, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is where I can rest. I can look at the light he has given to us by sending his own son into the world to suffer and die for us and say he's altogether lovely. I can look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that he is portrayed for us in the Gospels when he walked upon this earth. I can look at his life. If I want to know what God is like, well, God came to earth in Christ and he suffered and he died. And he went through all the troubles that we go through as human beings. And I can look at him and I say, this is what God is like. That when he saw the multitude, he says, I have compassion upon them. For they have gone so many days without, so long a time without food. He was concerned about them. That doesn't help me to explain why God permits so much suffering in the world. Although the Bible does explain that when it talks about sin, but even if I can't grasp it all, I can say, but this is what Christ is like. This is what God is like. And in him is light, and there's no darkness at all. So let us then now also look at the term darkness, the Bible's use of the term darkness. John describes darkness as everything that is opposed to or apart from God. Verse 5, in him is no darkness at all. We are again brought back to the first chapter of John's Gospel, in verse 5, which says that the light shines in the darkness. Light is totally opposed to darkness. It doesn't mix with it. The two cannot exist together. They are diametrically opposed to one another. For years we lived right on the coast of Malekula in Vanuatu. And sometimes we would hear a boat at night. Marie always heard it first. And then you could go outside and you could look at the sea. And then you could look miles out to sea and you see a little speck, a flickering speck of light. And that was just a hurricane light. Somebody with a hurricane light on board of a little copra boat. And you could see it for miles. It stood out because it was light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness can never quench the light or put it out. You can put out a fire with lots and lots of water. But you can never put out a light with lots and lots of darkness. It doesn't work that way. The greater the darkness, the more prominent the light is. God is like that. He is altogether light. People try to shut out the light of God, but they can never do so completely, no matter how hard they try. Now, everything that is opposed to or apart from God is darkness. And this is personified, of course, in the Bible in the person of the devil, because he is totally opposed to God. Colossians 1 verse 13 says of God, says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. No, sorry, he says of God, the Father. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so here the kingdom of Christ is directly opposed to the kingdom of darkness. The power of darkness and the kingdom of light are always in perpetual enmity with one another. In heaven, there is perfect light. Darkness cannot survive in heaven, and hell, being the place of separation from God, is by definition a place of darkness. So what is it to live in darkness? Biblically, it means to live apart from God, without any reference to him. So that means that you can be a philanthropist, giving millions to charity. You could be living a moral life, be faithful to your wife, and pay all your taxes. But if all of these things are done without a thought of or reference to God, the Bible says you are walking in darkness. The Bible calls such people fools. We read in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we've considered then the nature of light. What is light? This light. Then how do we walk in this light? John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, when the Bible talks about walking our walk, it refers to our daily habitual conduct, the pattern of our lives. That is its meaning here. For example, in Colossians 1 verse 10, Paul prays that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Obviously, he refers here to their daily conduct and increased understanding of the things of God in their daily lives. It's very important that we understand that the Christian life is not a 50-meter sprint. It is much more like a 25-kilometer marathon. That is, God doesn't just want spurts of obedience from us. He wants a continual pressing on in a life of obedience to him. So our Lord says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. In Matthew 10, 22. Now, that doesn't mean that we are saved by our endurance. No, the only way that anybody will be saved is through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for our sins. But it does mean that every single person who is saved will be enabled to, through the Holy Spirit, to persevere to the end. Every single saint who enters heaven has persevered. They have overcome the devil through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then, secondly, we look at the command. We must walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." These Ephesians were all once darkness. The best of them, as well as the worst of them. But now they were light in the Lord. To put it very plainly, you can't walk in the light without being converted. These Ephesians were light in the Lord because they were joined to him through faith in him. They were not light in the Lord because they followed our Lord's example in some ways, but because he had died in their place for their sins and had risen again from the dead. But now they were light in the Lord. That now that they were light in the Lord, they had to walk according to the way that children of light have to walk. And as children of light, they had to try to follow a Lord in whom is no darkness at all. God sent Paul to the Gentiles, it says in Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. John is trying to expose those who claim to have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. That is, as we have seen, they walk in fundamental opposition to him. So then, thirdly, how do we walk in this light? Positively, we walk in the light when we are continuously living our lives in the light of God's word and the example of our Lord. He says in 1 John 1 verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he's saying here that there were people who claimed to be having fellowship with God and yet whose lives were in the dark. They lived in opposition to him. They did not live in the light of truth as revealed by the scriptures and confirmed and fulfilled in crystal clarity by the Lord Jesus Christ. These people who claimed to be Christians didn't worry about their sin. Their lives were indistinguishable from the lives of the people in the world, but they did not confess their sin. They did not worry about it. Negatively, then, to walk in the light means that we have no communion with darkness, because light and darkness don't mix. We're told in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? because in him is no darkness at all. To walk in the light is to live by the truth revealed to us through the Holy Spirit as he applies God's word to our hearts. And as he does this, the light that he shines in our lives reveals our secret thoughts, our secret motives. And as he does so, our sins become more and more obnoxious in the light of the light that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. And so we react like Isaiah when he saw the light of the glory of God. Isaiah 6 verse 5 says, "So I said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Or like Job, after he had been shown his sin, Job 42, "I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." Well, what is the result of walking in this light? We are told in verse 7, "If we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin." When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and men. When we walk in the light, we do not deceive ourselves anymore about our sin. To walk in darkness is to deny your sin. John says in 1 John 1 verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." The character then of a person walking in darkness is that he is self-deceived. And this isn't just unfortunate ignorance. This is willful sinning against the light of God's truth. It is not wanting to know God. And at the same time, walking in darkness is also hurting our brothers and sisters. We hurt each other when we lie to each other and gossip about each other and do all the things that as sinners we do selfishly to one another. But if we have this fellowship with one another that John is talking about, it is because we all have fellowship with God. And this is why John says in the beginning of his epistle, he says, "I'm writing these things to you so that you may have fellowship with us and with our God." It is kidding ourselves to think that God will overlook our favorite sins, to think that we are not really so bad, to think that we can continue to live our lives in complete disregard of or lip service to the will of God as revealed in his word. The Lord Jesus says in John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." To walk in the light is to receive the light of truth of the Word of God that reveals us as sinners who are under the wrath of God. And at the same time that we know that we are sinners under the wrath of God, that same light shows us the good news that there is forgiveness with God, that we may be reconciled to a holy God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we walk in the light, we continually Repent of the sins that put our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It is impossible to walk in the light of God's word, of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, without continuous repentance. Why? Because as you walk in the light, you see the dirt. As you walk in the light, we continually see and bemoan our sin. That is the nature of light. It shows up all the dirt. Walking in the light is not only seeing our sin, it is being on the side of Christ. It means identifying with the light and totally rejecting the darkness which it replaces. Now, on the surface, it might seem as if John is contradicting himself in this particular passage. First, he says in verse 6 that the person who does not practice the truth and says he walks in darkness is a liar. And then he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But there's no contradiction. Because a Christian who is seeking to live his or her life in the light of God's word is not only conscious of his sin, but that the light shows up, he hates it, and he seeks forgiveness for it, and he wants to turn away from it. The Christian then is a person who has the light of life, and so he continually sees his sin by the perfect light of God's word, and yet he also sees the remedy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he continually resorts to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing. Just as we must daily rely on him for our daily food and trust in him for it and thank him for it, so we must daily look to him for continuous cleansing. Now, this doesn't mean that we go through our lives in terror at the thought of dying without confessing some particular sin. Because God sees all the wickedness of our hearts. And he sees many more sins that we never even think of confessing. No, the point that John is making here is that when we walk in the light, we continually see more and more of our sin, and we hate them because they put our Lord on the cross. And as they are revealed to us, we confess them, and we reject them, and resist the grip that sin has in our lives. Sometimes when I think back over my life, and I think to myself, did I say that to my parents? I totally reject that. I'm sorry that I said that, but they're not around to apologize to anymore. Did I do that particular thing? How wicked, but I can't do anything about it. I said, what do you do? At that particular time, you confess your sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because you confess that this is foreign to you. You are no longer that person who wants to do these things. You want to be cleansed. You want to be conformed to the light that is in your heart. On the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus is not going to say to those who have put their trust in him, here is a list of all the sins you have not confessed, and therefore you are still condemned because you have not been forgiven for them. He doesn't keep that list. No, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ paid for all our sins when he died for our sins once and for all. The Lord Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. May God's light shine upon us, that we will see our sins and turn from them and confess them and live our lives in joyful obedience to him. For if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.